Hello again, Outlander fans. This is Jenny Coco here, and I am back with another episode of Bannocks, Bonnets, and Kilts. This is a quick recap of Outlander Season 3, Episode 4, entitled Of Lost Things.
You guys have got to be shook. Those of you who are not book readers, you have got to be shook. I don't know how much of this was leaked online or, you know, anyone who's not a book reader. I don't know how many of you might have expected to see this and expected any of the stuff that happened in tonight's episode. But I've been looking forward to this and looking forward to the reactions of people. And what they think of it. I haven't seen too many reactions yet because, frankly, I'm cheating a little bit. I wanted to get this summary done without any problems. So I actually watched the episode earlier in the day, and I'm recording this earlier in the day, and we'll just release it later this evening after the airing. I'll be watching it again after the airing or the premiere, the official premiere on at 8 o'clock. But I'm just releasing this early. But I am just curious to know what the book readers thought. James Alexander, Malcolm McKenzie Fraser. He's a baby daddy, y'all. He's a baby daddy. He had another child with another woman. The horror of it. Yeah, this was a great episode. I loved it. Really tearjerker, man, at the end. Oh, anyway, let me just get my little quick recap going on. Of course, tonight's episode was, oh God, what the hell? I still can't remember the episode title. I should know it by now. What is wrong with me? I'm just going to look it up right quick. I should have already had this out. But Of Lost Things. That was the nice episode title, Of Lost Things. And it was great. It was a really, 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 really good episode. They just keep getting better, if you ask me. I really enjoyed it. But anyway, it started out with 1968, back where Bree and Claire were in Scotland. And it kind of picks up where season two left off, where Bree, Claire, and Roger were searching records to see if they could find Jamie. And they were looking through some prison records. And in doing so, found Jamie's name on a prison roster. And they saw that he was on the roster for several years and that the prison closed in 1756. And after that, they kind of lost the trail. And then we go back to the 18th century where Jamie is now a groomsman for Lord Dunsany. And, you know, he's being introduced to everyone, I think. And he meets the Lord. He meets the two daughters, one of them who is nice and the other one who is kind of a little shit. She's not very nice, or at least at first she doesn't reveal how much of a, you know, not so nice person she is, but you can tell that she's kind of stuck up, and the other one is maybe a little bit more more nice and more kind. But anyway, Lord Dunsany takes Jamie aside and tells him that he knows who he is and that he's not going to tell his wife, though, because his wife has a problem with Jacobite prisoners and Jacobites, period, because their son, was killed in the war. So he's going to keep that a secret and just say that he's a former employee of Lord John Gray's. So anyway, as time goes on, Jamie realizes that the youngest daughter, is kind of a mean bitch, and she kind of treats him like a slave and, you know, calls him a sorry Scotsman. Oh, God, she's just really awful, you know. But then I think they shoot back to the future, and I'm forgetting a lot of stuff that I saw. But anyway, I'm just going to do the quick recap. Look, essentially in the future, Claire, Roger, and Bree are looking for Jamie through records. They're going through court documents or all of the records that they can find. They find some stuff and eventually decide to go to Inverness for something because they found some information and they need to go to Inverness to, I guess, clarify. I don't even know. I wasn't as into the future stuff as I was. You know, I probably zoned out a bit with the future stuff, but was definitely all in with the 18th century stuff, because that was much more entertaining. As Jamie is being mistreated by this woman who is like the daughter of Lord Dunsany's. Anyway, at one point when you know, he and the groomsmen come up with this game. You know, they draw straws to see who has to deal with her when it comes to like escorting her on a ride or something like that. So the first time they did it, you know, that's when she told Jamie to get her horse, and she called him a sorry Scotsman while he got her horse. And then one of the other groomsmen who lost the draw straw had to escort her on a ride. And later, they were doing the straw drawing, and Jamie won or did not lose. Somebody else lost. And, but she had picked him. By the way, we had already seen where she was, being matched with an elderly man, someone much older than her, as her husband. So one of the things that she's probably in a really foul mood about is that she's being forced to marry a man like 3 times older than she is. So anyway, I think she starts to notice Jamie at some point. Notice that he's, you know, attractive. He's young. He's strapping young man. Not as young anymore. We know, I think now at this point, Jamie should be what? His mid to late 30s, somewhere in there. So, you know, Jamie's not exactly like a young man, but he's still young. So anyway, she's noticing him and stuff, and she doesn't want to admit it at first, but she's attracted to him. So then, you know, after, you know, being reminded once again that she's got to marry this old man that she's completely unattracted to. One day she decides she's going to go out for a ride again. But the groomsmen, like I said, when they drew straws, Jamie did not lose the straw draw. And one of the other groomsmen said he would take her out when she came, you know, to let them know she was going out for a ride. But she looked at Jamie and she says, no, Mackenzie's going to ride with me. He's going to escort me. And so Jamie looked at the other groomsmen and her. She walks out and they start laughing at him as he has to get the horses and go out with her for a ride, because no one wants to do this. She's so nasty. So anyway, they're out in the forest. They're riding together. She starts asking him questions about what he thinks of her betrothed. And Jamie doesn't want to talk about it at first because he's like, it's not my place. She's like, I'm demanding that you answer my questions. So he was like, he seems to like you. And she was like, well, he's old enough to be my grandfather. I don't want him. She's like, and I don't want to give my maiden heed to him. And, oh God, I forgot what else was said in the conversation. But at one point, I think, she asked him something that was inappropriate about, you know, what he likes or something. And he doesn't want to get into that with her. And he realizes, pretty quickly that she is, probably flirting with him, and he knows that is trouble. No way, you know, is he going to flirt with this girl? This is his master's, or the guy he works for, daughter. So, you know, he would be killed if he messed with her. He knows that. So he's like, no, we need to be getting back. And she's like, I demand that you follow me. You know, we're still riding. I'm not ready to go back yet. So she takes off real fast on her horse, and he tries to follow her. You know, he keeps up, but he's at a distance behind her. And at one point we hear her scream, And Jamie, you know, speeds up and notices that she has fallen off her horse and she's lying in the path. So he jumps off the horse and runs toward her and he tries to shake her. He asks her, "Mistress, are you all right?" She doesn't answer. He picks her up to carry her, but then she starts to giggle. And then she says, "I knew you would do what I told you." And then he looked at her like, "Bitch," and dropped her ass in a mud puddle. It was hilarious. She landed face first. Face first, flat on her face. And I thought, oh, shit, she's probably going to have him beheaded. So he went to get back on his horse, like leaving her there. But she's laughing. And she looks at him. She says, I don't remember what she said. She said something, you know, like she, you know, thought he was, I don't know. I can't remember what she said. But anyway, she said something, but I was really surprised at how light-hearted she was in spite of the fact that she was covered in mud and she had been dropped in a freaking mud puddle. She took it rather well. Anyway, later, she finds him again and he's cleaning the stables and she says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Shoveling shit, my lady." I'm like, Jamie done got all potty mouth. I kind of like it. Anyway, she said to him that he needed to, that she didn't want to give her maiden heed to this lord, and that she wanted him to come to her bed. And he was like, "Are you crazy? That is not happening." And she was like, "Well, you know, oh, I forgot to mention a part. There was a part. This becomes an important factor. We saw Lord John pay a visit to Jamie. You know how in the last episode when Lord John was dropping him off, he said he would visit him every quarter. Well, Lord John had paid a visit and they were playing chess. And as they were playing chess, they were approached by the two sisters and another red coat. Now, at first I didn't recognize him, but then when he stood and we got up close on him, realized it was Lord John's older brother. The same man that let Jamie go after Culloden because he didn't want to put a bad name on his family because because Lord John owed Jamie a debt for sparing his life. So when the brother saw Jamie, he was understandably surprised, and Jamie kept his head down, you know, and was probably thinking, "Oh God, this is not good." Because I'm sure this man did not expect me not only to still be alive, but probably did not expect me to be here on this lavish estate as a groomsman. But he didn't give anything away right then. He recognized Jamie clearly, looking very taken aback and not happy at all to see Jamie there. Anyway, the women could kind of tell something was wrong. Like, you know, okay, this is a tense moment. So they went off with the older brother, I guess to chat, and because the families were friends. That's why the brother was even there, because you know their families are acquainted. So the brother was just there visiting, and that's how he came upon Jamie and Lord John playing chess. So when this girl approaches Jamie here when he's cleaning the stables, she made mention that the brother had mentioned some things about Jamie. When Jamie was refusing to go to her bed, she mentioned that, "Well, you know, that's interesting because, you know, I forgot the brother's name. But anyway, she said he had, you know, mentioned a few things about you, that you're not really a former employee of Lord John's, but more like you're a former Jacobite, a prisoner. And, you know, my mother hates Jacobites. And if she found out that you were a Jacobite, well, I don't know what she would do. And also, he told me about your estate back in Scotland. What is it called? Lollybrock? Wow, if we found out that you was a Jacobite and, you know, you might be here under, you know, false pretense, we might have to send soldiers back to Lollybrock. It could be a real mess." And Jamie's looking at her like, "This hoe." And she's like, "Come to my bed tonight." And he kind of nodded. So jump forward to Jamie going to the bed. Now, okay. Okay, Jamie goes to her bedroom. He sneaks into the house late at night. He sneaks up to her room, closes the door and locks it. I ain't gonna lie, y'all. Even though I read this in the book, and even in the book when I read it, I was like, wow, okay, Jamie, even though it's we're led to believe that Jamie hasn't been with anyone since Mary McNabb, I was pretty impressed at how he got down to business. I mean, no hesitation. He was like, okay, let's do this, you know? And it was pretty much the same in the show. You know, he stripped, you know, got butt naked, went over to her, let me touch you. She was like, okay. And he started touching her and stuff. And she was like, you know, show me what to do. I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, yeah, I'll lead. Don't worry. So, you know, before you know it, he's got her butt booty naked and he puts her on a bed and he gets to work. I mean, no easing in or anything. At least, well, not that I recall. It was pretty abrupt, I believe, wasn't it? And I'm going to be honest. That shit was kind of hot. It really was. It was probably as hot as any scene that he had with Claire. I would say that. I would say that was about as any. That was about as hot as any scene he's had with Claire. It really was. And that little lick that he did to the right boobie. Ooh, honey, let me tell you. Got my blood flowing a little bit. I will say that. At any rate, after it was over, you know, he asked her, did he hurt her? And she said, it hurt at first, but then I liked it. That's generally how it works, dear. Anyway, she said, I love you. He said, that's not love you feel. You can feel that with any man. Love is something special. It's when you give your heart and soul to one person, you know, and then he looks off. You can tell he's thinking about Claire. But for him to not be in love, he put it down. I'll give it to him on that one. He put it down, honey. Anyway, skip forward a little bit with them. Several months apparently have passed. She's gone off and gotten married to the old man. And one day they come for a visit and they've been gone for a while. And when they come up to the house in their carriage, Jamie, as a groomsman, you know, helps them out of the carriage. At first you can't tell, because she's got on this coat. But she gets out of the carriage and she moves past and says hello, greets her parents. And then when she turns and her coat opens up, she got a big old round belly. And Jamie was looking at her like, oh, shit. The way she looked at him and smirked, you could tell that she was giving him that, yeah, this yours, honey. This you right here. So, you know, fast forward again. Apparently she goes into labor and the older sister goes to Jamie's room and says, you've got to hurry. Get the horses ready. My sister, she's gone into labor and she's in distress. So, you know, he gets the horses ready and the whole family goes off to her estate with the old man. And when they get to the house, you know, Jamie, of course, being a groomsman, he has to hang out with the maids. And he's like, is the mistress okay? And the maid was like, oh, she's bleeding, but she's all right. And he said, what about the baby? And she says, oh, he's a fine young boy. And Jamie had a little moment where he smiled because he's like, I have a son. I mean, he didn't say that, but you could tell that's what he was thinking, because that's his son. Everyone, well, he knows it, you know. So, I mean, that gave him a moment where he's like, wow, you know. So anyway, later on, he sees the older sister in the hallway crying, and he approaches her and he's like, is everything okay? And she's like, my sister is dead. And he was taken aback. He's like, what? And then the older sister was like, she was fine. She was lying there holding the baby, talking, sitting up, but she started bleeding again. And then the doctor just couldn't stop it. And she just died and she was crying. And he was, you know, struck, of course. But he was like, and where's the baby? Then they suddenly heard like this commotion going on downstairs. So they ran downstairs and the old man was holding the baby in a blanket and had a knife. And he was saying, you promised me a virgin. She was a whore, and this is a bastard. Oh, and I forgot to mention that when Jamie did approach the sister in the hallway before they heard the commotion, but because he was going to try to like comfort her while she was crying, and she slapped the shit out of him and said, "Don't play coy with me. She told me everything. You're that baby's daddy. She never even lay with that man." You know, so he was like, he didn't know what to say. Like, And then that's when they heard the commotion downstairs. So anyway, they ran downstairs. The old man was holding the baby in a blanket, had a knife, talking about that woman wasn't a virgin. She was a whore, and this is a bastard. And the father was like, "How dare you?" Her father and her mother, you know, was standing across from him, you know, saying, you're crazy. You know, that's your baby. This ain't my baby. She was pregnant before she even came to me. She was a whore, you know. And the mother was like, "Just let us take the baby and you can grieve in peace." He's like, "I'll kill this bastard before I let y'all have him." Then he looked like he was getting ready to stab the baby. And oh yeah, and this is, by the way, after the father of the daughter had drew a gun on him, and Jamie had jumped in between them and said, "Look, y'all both need to put your weapons down, okay?" So Jamie managed to slowly get the weapon from the father, but the old man refused to give his knife up and said he would kill that baby before he let them have it. So he looked like he was finna stab the baby, and Jamie shot him, just shot his ass. And he fell out. He was still holding the baby, but thankfully the baby kind of landed on him and was okay. And Jamie picked the baby up and looked down at him, and the baby opened his eyes, and it was just a sweet moment. But anyway, later when they go back home, the older sister is pushing the baby out in the woods in the crib. Not a crib, but in a stroller, a little one of those 18th century strollers. So beautiful. It's really hand carved and painted with flowers. It's really pretty. But anyway, she was pushing the baby in the stroller, and Jamie was, you know, in the wood, and she came upon this woman, the daughter, and the daughter apologized for how she acted and how she slapped him. She said, "I was just angry." She says, "It wasn't your fault. My sister could be very difficult." And he was like, "Okay." So then the mother, who was also there, walked up to him and said, the trial, because they had a trial about the Lord, the guy who got shot. They had a trial about that because Jamie, of course, was the one that shot him. But they managed to paint it so that it looked like he maybe had killed himself. And they said that they made it look like he was so grief-stricken by the death of his wife that he took his own life. So Jamie was off the hook. But then they was like, "Look, I know what you did for us and saving the baby and saving us from this crazy fool. We appreciate it. So we know who you are. I know who you are too now. And I want you to go back to Scotland if you want. We have connections with the crown, and we're going to make it so that you can go back to Scotland without having to worry about going to prison. And would you like that?" And Jamie was like, "Yes." But then he looked down at the baby and he said, "But not right now. I can't go right now. It's kind of hard in Scotland right now. Things are tough. I would just like to work here for a little longer and send money home to my family, if you don't mind." And the woman was like, "Well, if you insist." You know, so, you know, his plan, of course, is to stay there for as long as he can and watch over his son. So then we fast forward to his son being maybe about 5 or 6 years old. And his son is riding a horse, and Jamie is helping him ride. And two ladies are standing off to the side. I think the mother is one of them, if I'm recognizing her properly. She's standing off to the side, and they say to each other, "Look at Willie," because they've named the child William, Willie for short. Willie, the same name as Jamie's oldest brother, which is really cool. But anyway, Willie is riding his horse, and Jamie's is helping him with it, you know, teaching him how to ride. And the two ladies standing off to the side observe how fine Willie looks riding his horse, and how statuesque and how, you know, handsome he is. And one of the ladies like, "You know what? Mac and him spend so much time together." Mac is a short name that they call Jamie for Mackenzie, Mac. So Mac is spending so much time with Willie. People are starting to say he looks a lot, that Willie looks like him. And the other woman looked at it and said, "Yeah, that's funny. It sure does. They do look alike." So Jamie gave them a look like, okay, that's not good. So later when Jamie sees his reflection and then looks at Willie, he's like, Yeah, I am starting to look, or this guy, this little boy is starting to look like me. That's a problem. So later, when Lord John is visiting, Jamie, you know, is talking to him, and Lord John even observes that Willie is starting to look like Jamie, and that anybody with two eyes can see it, and that is a problem. Jamie like, okay, let's go for a walk. So they go for a walk, and Jamie asks Lord John, can he take care of Willie? And Jamie says, if you would, because Jamie realizes this is a big thing to ask somebody. But if you would take care of Willie, I would let you, you know. Lord John's like, no, what? Jamie's like, you know, I let you do your thing if you want. Lord John's like, you offering me your body for me taking care of your son? And Jamie was like, yeah. And Lord John was like, oh, well, that's quite an offer. But I can't accept that. I can't believe you would think that I would. And Jamie's like, oh, you don't want me? Lord John was like, I want you till the day I die, but I am not going to take it like that. Okay. And I got to say, even when I read this in the book and seeing it on the show, it always leads me to love and just revel in the fact that Jamie is such a progressive man for his time. Now, mind you, in the book, he says, yeah, if you had accepted, I probably would have just killed your ass. He didn't say that in the show, but it's just understood that he's so understanding of sexualities and how someone can possibly perform an act, but it doesn't define who they are. That's some deep stuff. That's some stuff that a lot of men are uncomfortable with, though, I'm sure. So I don't know. Some of the male fans might be looking at this going, this is making me very uncomfortable. And then there might be some who are just as progressive and they're cool with it too. So I don't know. But yes, it is possible for him to say what he said and maybe even go through with it. And it doesn't necessarily define him as gay. Although if he had did it willingly, then I would say, it probably means that you are. But this was not something he would have been doing willingly necessarily. This would have been him basically just selling his body for a favor. And, you know, Jamie's in a different place right now, y'all. You just have to understand it. And he's in this place where he knows that his life and his body is not as valuable as that of the English. Did you hear that when I said that? Let me repeat it. He realizes that his life and his body is not as valuable as that of the English. Scott's Lives Matter. Anyway, let me move on. So anyway, Willie, of course, accepts. He says that he's going to get married and it will make it even easier for him to care for Willie. Jamie's like, married to a woman? He's like, yeah, that's how it's done these days. It's not like it's 2017. But anyway, Jamie's like, who? And he says he's going to marry the sister. I forgot what her name is. But he says, and it's okay. And Jamie's like, no, you can't do that. He's like, no, it's okay. You know, marriage is not all built around crazy sex. Plus, I'm really fond of her. And it makes it easier for me to take care of your son. And Jamie is so grateful and so appreciative. And later, you know, he's talking to Willie. He says goodbye to Willie. But before he's saying goodbye, he shows Willie that he's like a Catholic or a papist is what they called it back then. And Willie was like, my mother says the papists are stinking papists. And not mother, but my grandmother, you know. And he's like, okay. But he said, and the little boy is like, I want to be a stinking papist like you. So Jamie was like, okay, if you want to be a papist like me, then there's a process. So Jamie makes a cross over his forehead and christens him William James. And Willie says, my name isn't William James. I'm William Charles, whatever, you know, Dunsany, whatever his name is. And James says, when you become a papist, you get a new name. And James is your papist name, just like mine. So then Willie said, oh, cool, I'm a stinking papist now. So Jamie also then pulls a little carved snake, just like he used to have. Sawney, I believe is what it was called. And but anyway, this isn't Sawney. This is a new snake that Jamie has carved himself. And he gave it to Willie. He said, this is something for you to remember me by. And he gives it to Willie. And Willie's name is carved on the back. And Willie smiles. And Willie says, but I don't have anything to give you. And Jamie looks at him with a smirk and says, I'll always remember you. You don't have to worry about that. So later, as Jamie's getting ready to leave, Willie and Lord John and the sister are all standing out front. And Jamie gets on his horse and he, you know, says goodbye to them all. And he's trotting down the path on his horse. And Willie runs after him and says, don't go, Mac, don't go. And they have to run after him and catch him before he, you know, catches up to the horse. And you can see Jamie trying so hard not to cry, but he refuses to turn around. He's just trotting off and he rides off. And that's the end of that. And that was such an awesome episode. I enjoyed it so, so much. So that's it. Let me just make a couple of corrections. When I did mention that Jamie asked Lord John to take care of Willie, I don't think I made it clear that because he saw that he was, that Willie was starting to resemble him and people were starting to notice, he came to the conclusion that now was time to leave and go back home to Scotland. So I don't think I had made it clear that that's what was happening at that point. It wasn't just that Jamie suddenly felt like he needed to pawn his child off on someone else. It was just that he knew that he couldn't stay. And the only way he could be with Willie is as a groomsman on the estate. He couldn't be a proper father to the child anyway, under the circumstances. So that's why he asked Lord John to take care of him. And he, in turn, went home to Scotland. All right, guys, that's it for the quick recap. This is Jenny Coco Cura. Make sure you check out the full recap on Wednesday, October 4th. Be looking out for that and can't wait to see episode 4. No, we just did episode 4. Can't wait to see episode 5. That's going to be great. And then episode 6. Oh, God, guys, episode 6. That's the one that we are all waiting for. A Malcolm. Everyone is living for episode 6. But in the meantime, we're enjoying these episodes. They're really great. And I'm enjoying doing the recap. So see you guys on Wednesday. Take care. Bye-bye.